Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, the voice of reverse mortgages and seniors, hosted by Dirk Gray. My NMLS number is 222-785, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. NMLS number is 1102-656. This information is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or a government agency. If the borrower does not meet loan obligations such as taxes and insurance, then the loan will need to be repaid. The information given during the show is not meant to be all-inclusive. Any guests on the show are not endorsed by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. This show is brought to you by our producer, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, helping you move forward in reverse. Our website is www.reversenm.com. And our office phone number is 505-897-4900. Today on the show, my guests are Sonia Warwick from the Roadrunner Food Bank and Jennifer Weber, who's a special agent in charge of Medicare fraud control. Did I say that right,
Jennifer? Medicaid fraud control.
Medicaid.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Not Medicare. All right. Well, welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you, Dirk.
Well, you know, I think at one time, you may not remember this, I may have talked to you like a year ago about possibly coming on the show. Or maybe it was somebody else. But anyway, your name sounded familiar to me, and I was excited about the topic.
Great.
And you're interested in coming on onto the show. So, all right. Jennifer Weber is the president of the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, New Mexico's chapter and special agent in charge with the New Mexico Attorney General's Office. So let's start with this. Tell our listeners about your background. I know you grew up in Albuquerque.
Yes, I did grow up in Albuquerque, born and raised here. I love this community very much. And so as I was growing up, I looked at an opportunity to give back, and that's when I became a police officer for the Albuquerque Police Department.
And what did you do as a police officer?
Well, I started like everybody else on patrol. And then later on in my career, as luck would have it, I got assigned to the white-collar crime unit where I started financial investigations.
Good. Okay. Well, explain what the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners is.
We call it the ACFE for short because that is a mouthful, Association of Certified Fraud Examiners.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it is the world's largest anti-fraud organization. We support businesses and communities across the world, all over the globe, in fighting fraud, ultimately. So there are... we call ourselves certified fraud examiners, and it's a private certification that we get through the ACFE. And we are in small businesses and large businesses, Fortune 500 companies employ CFEs, and the main goal is to prevent fraud in our organizations. And our government, not only on the local level of police departments, but also within state and federal agencies, are starting to employ CFEs as well in the investigative realm.
You know what, Jennifer, just for our listeners, define what fraud is.
Fraud. There's so many ways you could define fraud, but really it's somebody trying to swindle you out of your money, ultimately.
Okay. Well, that's a nice short definition. Okay, and I know you're here to talk about an event that's happening Saturday, November 18th.
That's correct.
So we'll talk a little bit about that.
So we're very excited. The ACFE New Mexico chapter, that's our local chapter for the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners. And as you said a moment ago, I'm the president of our local chapter. We're very excited to partner with the Department of Senior Affairs at the City of Albuquerque to put on our very first fraud fair for mostly targeted towards senior citizens, but anybody in the community can actually benefit from that. And the fraud fair itself is going to be able to provide education to our community that is, like I said, targeting fraud awareness. So preventing fraud and preventing our vulnerable community from losing their money, their hard-earned dollars.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know something, working with New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, you know, all my clients are seniors, and I love them. You know, I love the seniors, but it's, you know, they can be taken advantage of if they've got the right person in front of
you
them.
You are absolutely correct. And that's one of the reasons that we're targeting seniors more specifically, because it's such a vulnerable population.
Mm-hmm.
And I've unfortunately seen a lot of cases with senior citizens specifically.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's hard when we're talking to senior citizens. They recognize that the fraudsters, the schemers, right, they recognize that senior citizens tend to be a little bit more forgiving of situations. They tend to want to help out a lot more than other populations in our community. And it's a struggle. to really educate our community and say, hey, we have to be a lot more leery than we were before. And you know that senior citizens, they were raised to be helpful. They were raised to help their neighbor. If somebody needs a cup of sugar, go next door, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was, that's what they're ultimately preying on, these fraudsters.
Yeah. And where is your event?
Our event is at the Manzano Mesa Multigenerational Center, which is at 501 Elizabeth Southeast. It's just a little bit east of Eubank and Central.
Okay. And is it, I think it's south of Central, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's where Ed Nunez works.
Yes. Yeah, yes, it is.
Ed's great guy. I enjoy Ed. All right. Okay. So we've talked about the association. Do you want to explain the purpose for having the senior fair, or I think you've already done it?
Yeah, we've kind of talked about it a little bit. It's really to educate and give raise awareness for different fraud avenues that are affecting our community. We're very, very excited to have multiple partners in this venture. So as I said earlier, we're partnering with Department of Senior Affairs. We're also partnering with the City of Albuquerque Office of the Inspector General, obviously the New Mexico Office of the Attorney General, because I work there.
Mm-hmm.
But also we have a very supportive staff in our Consumer Affairs, and our Medicaid Fraud Control Division is presenting as well. The New Mexico Securities Division is going to be out there. Western Union is doing a presentation. It's going to be great. And we also have Blue Cross and Blue Shield as well.
Are the seniors, they're just going to show up at the event, or do they need to let you know they're coming?
No, it's an open-door event. So what we're doing is basically an exhibit hall where we're going to have booths of information for the seniors, and we're going to have presentations that are scheduled. So the event starts at 9 a.m., and it goes until noon. And we have a total of 6 presentations that are scheduled throughout that time frame in 2 different classrooms there at the Multigenerational Center. And then the exhibition hall is actually in the gymnasium. It'll be open all day. Well, until noon, until mm-hmm. the event is over.
And then you have something afterwards.
We do. We have an entertainment section, if you will. We have a local band coming in and playing for the seniors, and they're going to have a dance.
Oh, you know something? They'll love that.
I know. Yeah. That's what I've heard, and I have not been able to attend one, but I hear that it's a great time.
Yeah, they'll enjoy that. Okay, why don't you explain why and how ACFE got involved in the fair?
You know, as I said a little bit earlier, I've had the opportunity, and I don't even want to call it an opportunity. It's been very sad, actually, to see how much fraud has happened to our vulnerable population, how they've been victimized. And as the president for the chapter and talking to our chapter members, we wanted to give back to our community more. It's been something that we've talked about and kicked around quite a bit in our chapter, and this looked like a good opportunity to do so. This week is actually Fraud Week for the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners.
Good timing.
It's good timing, exactly. So when we looked at something that we could coordinate with the senior citizens, with the Department of Senior Affairs, we decided that Saturday, November 18th would be a good time to put on this fair.
That's great. Okay, so we talked about the partners. The Department of Senior Affairs, the Office of the Inspector General are the major partners. You talked about Western Union, Blue Cross, Blue Shield is evidently
right.
involved.
Yes.
Anybody else that you want to mention?
We have an individual by the name of Mark Medley. He does ID theft recovery for individuals. He has his own private company called ID Theft Resolutions. He's going to come out and be sponsoring. We're going to have literature from the Albuquerque Police Department on how to not become a victim of different things, you know, just self-protection. It's going to be a great thing. We have a lot of different vendors that are coming out. So
that's exciting. You know what? The seniors are going to love it. They're going to love what you guys are doing.
Great.
All right. We gave the location as 501 Elizabeth Southeast. And you said it's east of Eubank off of Central.
That's right. So if you take Central east from Eubank, the next light is Elizabeth, and then go south on Elizabeth.
And is it a ways south?
It's a few blocks, not too far. It's about 5 blocks, actually.
5 blocks. And it looks kind of like a big school.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Okay. How can citizens attend if they don't have transportation?
So what we've set up with the Department of Senior Affairs is actually a shuttle from the west side. So they can park at the Los Volcanes Community Center and be shuttled over to the actual Manzano Mesa Multigenerational Center. I don't have the schedule of that right now. I don't know if it's been finalized as of the time that we're talking today, but it will be posted at the Los Volcanes Center as well.
Okay. And how can citizens... what do you hope senior citizens take away from the fair?
Ultimately, what we want them to take away is some tips in fraud prevention, what they do if they are a victim of fraud, how they recover from fraud. And we also want them to understand that they have a voice. Ultimately, senior citizens have, for whatever reason, they don't feel that they can talk to their family about this, and we want them to understand that there is resources out there. There are resources out there they can talk to and go to in order to become whole again.
Okay, let me ask you this, because our time is just about over, Jennifer. How can people contact you?
They can contact us through the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners. They can contact me through that. We have a Facebook. They can message us, or they can also contact me at the Attorney General's office.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, here on 1600 AM and 93.7 FM News Radio, KIVA. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, is heard weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience. All right, my next guest is Sonia Warwick, and Sonia's a familiar voice because she's been on the show before. Sonia's with the Roadrunner Food Bank. But before I get to Sonia, in our segment called Because You're a Senior, these are available to you. And, you always hear me say this, never be ashamed to ask for your discount because you've earned it, and why should you pay full price when you don't need to? So last week I told you about Walgreens Senior Day. Once a month, discounts are available for Balance Rewards card members, 55 plus, or Balance Reward card members that are also AARP members. Discounts include 20% off in-store or 10% online. UPS is offering AARP members 15% off eligible products and services and 5% off domestic and international UPS shipping. That varies by location, so make sure you check on it. This week, I want to tell you about Denny's Restaurant. Is 15% off every day and receive up to $100 onboard cruise credit. Who wouldn't like to go on a cruise? Through AARP's Travel Center, so check on those. And every week, listen for Because You're a Senior. These are available to you. All right, welcome to the show, Sonia.
Oh, my goodness, it's so great to see you, and it's so great to be back.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to see you, too. All right, well, we're going to talk. I know you have a special event coming up November 18th.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk about that, Sonia.
So the Letter Carriers Food Drive really is thanks to the wonderful partners at our wonderful partners at the United States Postal Service and, of course, the National Association of Letter Carriers. And they have been doing this food drive for hunger relief organizations, particularly for Roadrunner here in Albuquerque, for a long time. And really, we have to tell them thank you. It's easy to participate. Simply fill a bag with non-perishable food, leave it by your mailbox, and your letter carrier will pick it up on our behalf. And, it's the time of year when people think about giving back in mm-hmm. some way. And it's wonderful that we receive so many gifts in kind like this of a food donation, because it's going to benefit someone in need, whether they're a senior, whether they're a child, whether they're a family, a working family going through tough times right now. So we heavily rely on the food that is collected, and we're so glad that they've continued to host this on our behalf.
And you know what? I'm sure it's a lot of work for them because they're lifting a lot.
They are. Some of them, when you're unloading their vehicles, once they come back to the post office, they literally are like, I am exhausted. So we have volunteers there that we've recruited and our own staff, of course, mm-hmm. that are helping unload those post office vehicles at the post office and getting it placed into our own trucks to take back to the food bank.
Okay, well, good. So that's this coming Saturday, the 18th.
It is. It's what's great is you really don't have to go that far to do much. All mm-hmm. you do is take a bag, fill it with any kind of non-perishable food that you see in your food pantry, and leave it right next to your mailbox. If you're a post office box customer, you can, of course, take it right to your post office directly.
Okay, great. All right. You know, Sonia, tell our listeners about your background.
Sure. Well, I'm actually a New Mexico native. I'm not from the metro area, of course, originally. I'm from the southern part of the state, Silver City originally, born and raised there, and came to school to go to college here at UNM and never left. So I've been an Albuquerquean since 1991 and enjoy discovering all things northern New Mexico. Being from the southern part of the state, you get to see a lot of the Gila Wilderness, which, where I grew up and raised in that backyard, And so it's neat to be able to come to northern New Mexico, of course, and see some of the great and wonderful things that that are offered here. So we've been lucky to do that.
Are you an Aggies fan?
Well, I'm a Lobo, so no.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. You went to school at UNM.
I am. But my sister is an Aggie. She got her master's degree there. So
well, you know,
have one side. You know,
we got
us
that
on
new
side.
Coach from down south, Paul Weir.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be an exciting coach. I think he's a neat guy. I've listened to him interviewed a couple of times. He's got great leadership characteristics.
Fantastic.
So
yeah, we'll see
good.
How they do. We're excited to see how this new coach will perform, I'm sure, as an alumnus of UNM.
All right, let's talk about how the food bank got started, so kind of some of its history.
Well, we were founded, actually, most people don't know this, almost 38 years ago now, by a local reverend. His name was Reverend Titus Scholl. And wonderful gentleman. He founded the food bank at a time when there were not many programs like that at any place across the United States. You know, there was the impact of the recession at that point in time. There was high inflation. And a lot of people didn't have anywhere to turn mm-hmm. for help with basic needs like food. And so he took this concept that he learned about. The first, actually, food bank in the world was founded in Phoenix, Arizona, believe it or not. And that founder basically grew the concept of food banks all across our nation. Mm-hmm. So there's roughly 200 food banks that are all basically joined together through a national organization known as Feeding America, and we're the New Mexico affiliate for Feeding America. And what that does is that national connection brings us national partnerships with people in the food industry, so anywhere from like the Walmarts of the world, the Smiths of the world, food manufacturers, for example, and that helps us basically capture rescued product or unsaleable food at grocery stores to bring back to the food bank to redistribute.
And what prompted you to get involved with them?
Well, I after my time at UNM, I obviously was a student there for 5 years when I finished my bachelor's, and I went into a staff position there. And I spent about 11 years in various staff positions during my time at UNM. And I had a boss who basically recruited me away from UNM to come to the food bank. He said, there's this wonderful position available I think you'd be great at. I think you'd really enjoy it. And so he kind of stole me away, and I've been there about 9.5 years and enjoy my time there. It's I can tell you in the 9 years I've been there, there's not one year that is the same. The organization is constantly evolving, which mm-hmm. I think is important in terms of not just being able to capture food, but in how we feed our hungry neighbors. You know, the programs that we provide and how we distribute food is very different than we did even 15 years ago. You can say as organizations, food banks kind of grew up and professionalized, I would say, in the last 20 years. Our retiring CEO, her name is Melody Wattenbarger. She's been a founder of a food bank, believe it or not, in Texas, and she's retiring. And some of the stories she shares about those early days of food banking are just tremendous. You know, basically distributing food out of the trunk of a car, for example, or trying to find working vehicles from one day to the next. Because as our name implies, we bank food. You know, we're not a food pantry. We're not a soup kitchen. We bank food for other organizations like that. So we're handling on a daily basis hundreds of thousands of pounds of food that are getting sent to communities all across our state.
So, okay, piggyback on what you just said a little bit. Explain
yeah.
that a little bit more. So explain the banking side of what you do.
Yeah. So as our name implies, food bank. Mm-hmm. We basically are a distribution hub. And so we take in food items from primarily the food industry, of course. Well, of course, the food industry. And that can come from anything from grocery programs or grocery rescue, from local growers, from national growers, from other food banks that we're sharing loads with in other states. And all of that comes to this central facility, which is a huge, huge, massive warehouse. Think Sam's Club, think Costco
wow.
kind of size. And in essence, we take that in, and then we work with basically a statewide network of hunger partners that are smaller organizations like food pantries and soup kitchens and group homes and shelters and schools and senior sites and low-income senior sites, senior centers, et cetera. And then we dispatch that food out to those. So across the state, our network is probably 300, 400, 500 strong and allows us to take food into not just urban communities like this one, but small rural communities, too, where they may not have enough food programs, for example.
Do they have to get to you, or do you do you get the food to them?
That's our job. We get the food to them. So you have to remember, most of the organizations we partner with don't have access to transportation, mm-hmm. don't have access to refrigerated vehicles. Mm-hmm. You know, in our country, basically food banks have become not just a canned good and dry good operation. We're actually distributing a lot of nutritious food, like produce, for example. And distributing that produce allows us to provide access to nutritious food. And so that requires refrigerated trucks. Mm-hmm. So most of our sites aren't set up to handle that.
Okay. And tell our listeners, what is your position there? What are you called?
Well, titles don't really matter to me, but in essence, if we're that concerned about it, my official title is communications officer, but it's not,
you're the voice.
I'm one of many mm-hmm. voices at mm-hmm. the food bank, mm-hmm. and I think coming on shows like this allows us to continue to remind people that hunger is a serious issue in our mm-hmm. state. Mm-hmm. We have high poverty rates, and with high poverty rates comes hunger.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you guys are out there, Sonia.
Well, I thank our donors and our volunteers and people who make our work possible. You know, we're your food bank. We're your community food bank. We exist because people invest in our mission mm-hmm. to make sure people in need have food the moment it's needed. So, you know, as you're thinking about ways to get involved with us, we encourage you to come and volunteer. We encourage you to make a donation, whether by check or by email. I'm sorry, not email, online, or whatever works for you. Those precious gifts during this giving season really carry us well into the new year, and we're grateful and honored to have that support.
How many locations do you have?
We operate two locations. We have our main warehouse hub here in Albuquerque, and we have a smaller office actually in Las Cruces. Those are mostly staff that work with our partners down in southwestern New Mexico in the southern part of the state. But in essence, without those partners, you know, we couldn't distribute food at the same time. They rely on us to make sure we've got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds of food on a given day, and we rely on them to actually get the food out the door.
Well, you guys, you know what? You're doing amazing work, and I think it's a wonderful thing you guys are doing. You talked about your mission. What is your mission?
Well, our mission is really to end hunger, but we see it as more than that. You know, we revised our mission not too long ago to include, we've been doing the feeding part for a long, long time, but we expanded it to include what we call our seed part of our mission, where we're seeding partnerships and inviting other people and other services into our fold. You know, we know food is a convener of people. I mean, think about when you sit down at a table and enjoy, you know, a meal with your loved ones. That's a convener of your day, if mm-hmm. you will. And so we want to bring other services to people in need, but we're not the experts in that. So we invite people to get involved with us. And, you know, if they want to provide another service, added food distribution, we would want to talk to you about that. And then the lead part of our mission is the part that we don't know yet. It's like, how can we be leaders in terms of leading that charge and educating people about why people are in poverty and why people are experiencing hunger? And a lot of that has to do with advocacy work, of course, for sure. But also being a leader in terms of how we distribute food. What are new ways that we distribute food to effectively feed people? And being mindful of what's kind of going on in the food industry, too. You know, we're seeing changes. You know, we're seeing the for-profit world start to do direct distribution right mm-hmm. to people, where you can stop and pick up your food. You don't even have to go in the store mm-hmm. and shop.
I know, it's amazing.
Right. That's going to change our business model, too, in terms of how we work, and that's going to impact how we are able to get food out the door as well.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a break in just a minute. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the partnerships. All right. It's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters is heard weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience. All right, in this section of the show, I do the New Mexico Reverse Mortgage's Q&A questions, and I got an email this last week asking what the difference between HUD and FHA is. And that's a good question. HUD is the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, commonly known as HUD. It's a cabinet department in the executive branch of the United States federal government, and is to develop and execute policies on housing. So they're a broad ranging group. FHA is the Federal Housing Administration, generally known as FHA, and it provides mortgage insurance on loans made by FHA approved lenders throughout the United States and its territory. For instance, if you get a reverse mortgage through New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, As many of you know, we have FHA upfront mortgage insurance that is charged, and then we also have a monthly a fee that's charged. So hope that answers the question. All right, we're back to Sonia.
Well, thanks.
I love Sonia. She's
like
a great guest.
I feel like I'm stealing all the spotlight here, Dirk.
No, you know what? It's great. Okay, so we talked about the mission. We talked a little bit about the kind of the core values of the company. And you mentioned during the break that you wanted to talk about the federal nutrition programs.
Yeah, I sure do. Thanks for bringing that up. And, you know, food banks across the country and the charitable hunger system across our nation are, you know, deep in terms of, like, how long they've been around. We've been mostly around between 35 and 40 years, and we're more advanced organizations than we were when we first started in the 1960s and the 1970s. But what most people don't realize is that charitable hunger programs can't do the work by itself. You know, we do require the support of federal nutrition programs. And what I mean by that is when people are in food lines, often they're getting food, of course, from our statewide network. But often many of them are on SNAP or food stamp benefits, too. And they're there for a couple reasons, because SNAP doesn't last the entire month, but neither does the food that we provide to them. So really, federal nutrition programs like SNAP and WIC and the Free and Reduced Lunch Program, as well as the work of the Charitable Hunger System, we need to work together and do work together to make sure we can provide enough food for families throughout the course of the month. On average, SNAP benefits or food stamp benefits last about 2.5 weeks of the month. And if, you know, it's a low-income family and there's no money left for the rest of the month for food, they often are in our food lines making sure that they can cover the rest of that 2 weeks.
How does somebody access you guys? Like if I'm somebody that needs your help or assistance, how do I go about doing that?
Sure. We operate a food assistance line. You can definitely dial that phone number at 247-2052. We'll put you in touch with a partner that is based on where you live. So if you live in here in Albuquerque and you live in the 87105 zip code, for example, we'll find partners that are right in that zip code. If you're in Las Cruces, we will find partners that we work with in that particular part of the state. So being part of that statewide hub allows us to give you information no matter where you're at. So we're taking calls from all across the state with people who need food help, and just giving them information to get them in that food line and when those distributions occur and what time those distributions occur. But the other thing that we do is we provide a SNAP outreach program. And, you know, we, of course, don't decide who receives food stamp benefits or not, but we're just basically there to serve as a tool for the community to say, you know what, this is sometimes a difficult process to navigate. So we help our staff and some trained volunteers help navigate that process for people in the application process, for sure. So they can call us. We can walk them through the application over the phone. Or, you know, we can send the application to them if they want to do it on their own, or give them some online links where they can actually apply for SNAP benefits directly online.
How long does the process take?
Well, it's probably not the same answer for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends. If it's a single person, that's going to be a much faster application time frame probably than somebody who has 3 or 4 or 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, grandparents raising grandchildren, for example. Oh. Or in your case, you're raising, you know, you're helping provide for another family member at this point in time. So it's not really one straight answer. Usually the more complicated your family situation, it's a little bit of a longer process to get you through the application side of it.
But that makes sense. You know, when you're talking about the people that you interface with, how many people are in your network on any given day that you have access to?
Yeah, so I can give you a weekly number. So this comes really from hunger research that we do nationally with Feeding America. And it's basically a client survey that we usually do once every 4 years. And that survey tells us a little bit more about the people in our food lines. And one of the things that report said when the last survey occurred is that the food bank is serving or reaching 70,000 people a week.
Wow.
So to put that in perspective for most people, you know, most of us have visited Santa Fe, and that's like providing emergency food to the entire city of Santa Fe once a week,
mm-hmm.
Weekly. That's not monthly, that's not yearly, that's weekly. And the scary thing is that represents a lot of vulnerable populations, children and seniors in particular.
Mm-hmm.
There are high rates, as I mentioned before, of poverty in our state, and children really tend to be kind of the first impactful or group that gets impacted by those figures, by poverty. And so, for example, about 30 to 40% of the people in our food lines, they might be parents or grandparents, you know, getting food for their children, but at the end of the day, it's going to be feeding children. And the same for seniors. You know, as the largest generation in history retires, we expect and we anticipate that senior hunger will grow. And there's some things that we'll have to look at, like how do you get access to seniors who might be immobile or can't leave their home or don't have a car or somebody to drive them to a local food pantry. That we hear a lot, and that's tough. Transportation is tough for seniors to get to food distribution points.
And I'm assuming that New Mexico probably has as much or more than most other states.
In terms of childhood hunger, yes, for sure. I would say for senior hunger, sure, there's not as much data behind it, but for childhood hunger, there is a lot of data behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, you know, we tend to fall at the bottom for a lot of things in the state of New Mexico, and childhood hunger is one of those. We're currently ranked second overall for childhood hunger among all of our peers across the country.
Well, you know, because with New Mexico Reverse, you know, our clients are the seniors.
Yes.
And 10 to 11,000 are turning 65 every day.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And we anticipate that many of them will be in food lines simply because, you know, none of us are guaranteed how long we're going to live.
Mm-hmm.
I look at my own family genes, and I have three grandparents who lived almost to their 100 years old. And how do you anticipate
saving? We'll have a lot of radio programs, Sonia. We'll just kind of get old together on the radio.
But, you know, I don't know that they ever expected to live that long. And, you know, their incomes didn't go up. And we see that with seniors. When you're living on a tight fixed income, sometimes there is no money left at the end of the month for food.
Well, one of the things that I noticed on your website was something called Hunters Helping the Hungry. And my father-in-law is an avid hunter. And that really caught my attention. Can you talk about that?
I sure can. So really, this is a partnership that is done with Game and Fish. And it's kind of a shared program, if you will. And the concept is real simple. For any hunter who is out there hunting specifically elk or deer meat, you can actually designate part of the meat from that hunt to a local hunger relief partner. And the way it works is simple. Basically, Environmental Health has certified several shops that will basically handle the meat processing for you. And then if you said, okay, I'd like 50 pounds or 200 pounds, whatever the amount is, to go to a local partner in my community, we basically put them in touch with that site, and then the pounds can stay in that county.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so it's a great way to introduce people to protein maybe they've never tried before.
Okay, I wanted to get back to this sooner, and forgive me because I failed to do it, but you talked about partners.
Yes.
And partners that have certain skill sets that I guess help you accomplish things.
Sure. So we have lots of different kinds of partners folks who work at the food bank or who partner with us to serve people who are hungry. So I'll kind of talk a little bit about those. First of our first basically biggest and largest group of partners are our food distribution partners. So again, those are our food pantries that we send food to, soup kitchens, group homes, shelters, schools, etc. And those are probably between 300 to 500 different partners that we're working with to distribute food. But then there's also partners where we're bringing additional complementary services to food distribution points. So that might be like a Blue Cross Blue Shield, for example. We know that research tells us that people who are food insecure or experiencing hunger are often not as healthy as the rest of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can actually partner with folks like Blue Cross Blue Shield and bring healthcare services to distribution points while they're picking up their food. And they've been a great example of how we're bringing those complementary services to food distributions where we know people are already waiting in line and they can save time from waiting in another line if they can receive some additional support. And that's just one example. There are others too, but that's just one example of bringing health care to food distribution points.
Well, I noticed there was something on your website about medications, and maybe I don't know whether it was discounts for medication or something to that effect.
Yeah, and actually it's a free program to anybody who wants it. Some folks don't have a drug rider attached to their health insurance, for example. And you can download that card right from our website. You can take it to your pharmacist when you're filling your script. And basically, oh, sorry about that. And basically, once they receive that discount card, in essence, they can take it to their local pharmacy, and it might earn them a discount rather than having to pay the full price.
Okay.
I know you can only use that card or your insurance. It's one or the other. But what a lot of people don't realize, if you've got pets, you can use it for pet prescriptions as well.
Okay, great. All right, well, Eddie's telling me it's time for a break, and I got to listen to Eddie. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. Our phone number is 897-4900. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior. In our last segment, we're going to talk more with Sonia Warwick from the Roadrunner Food Bank. And, okay, we talked about hunters. And helping the hungry through that avenue, which I think is pretty awesome. We talked about the SNAP benefits. We talked about the nutritional assistant programs. What are the different types of volunteers?
Well, we have a lot. Our largest volunteer program really has to do with people who are coming to our warehouse and helping us prep food for distribution. So they might be sorting produce. They might be sorting through canned good items. They might be taking bulk items, and I mean much bigger bulk than you would see like in a Costco or Sam's Club. This is like, you know, the biggest bag of rice you can possibly imagine and putting it into family-sized servings, like several thousand pounds of one bag of rice. So that kind of thing. But we also have what we call non-warehouse volunteers, and that might be helping us with lots of different things. That might be helping us prep for events. That might be helping us go to sites and doing some direct client interaction, like doing SNAP outreach at some of those sites. It could be things like we have an on-site medical referral food pantry that really those clients get a referral to come to this very specific food pantry based on a chronic health condition.
Mm-hmm.
We have volunteers who work with that particular program. And if you're interested in using that special skill set that you may have, you can definitely, you know, reach out to us. We'd be glad to talk to you. You know, many people want to use those talents that they've had all their life and use it for some charitable work, and we mm-hmm. would invite them to do that. So it's not just working in our warehouse. There are other very specific types of volunteer activities available, and those require a little bit more one-on-one. You know, like, okay, well, you can do this, and here's what works, and that kind of thing. So we would definitely invite you to become more familiar with those opportunities by giving us a call.
And what ages, Sonia, from what to what?
Sure. So working in a warehouse, 6 and up, you know, of course,
really?
You'll need to come. Mm. Yeah, 6 and up. We've got a lot of student groups who come in this time of year who might be you know, coming on a field trip with their school class, those kinds of things. But, you know, we have a lot of families who like to volunteer as a family unit, and you're welcome to sign up as a family, bring your children as long as they're 6 and up, and we'll find projects for you to work on. We do ask that you register simply because we only prep volunteer projects based on how many we know are coming any given day or any given time. So it's
hard. You guys are really flexible in that regard. It's
yeah.
not like they have to make a certain time commitment over like 6 months.
No, they can come one time to do volunteer work if they like in our warehouse. For some of those other special skill mm-hmm. type activities, we are looking for a longer commitment simply because there's training involved.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you're going to have up to 2 to 4 hours worth of training before mm-hmm. you're, you know, basically certified to go do that task, if you will.
Okay, now you just mentioned events. So I noticed you've got some annual events.
We do.
Children's charities, host an event or a promotion, and then a Thanksgiving event.
Well,
can you
we
talk
do.
About
yeah,
those?
Sure. So really our Thanksgiving event is our letter carriers food drive that's happening this Saturday, and we're the beneficiary of that event. We're grateful to have that food, but it's really easy for folks to participate. And we encourage you to participate. Giving the gift of food this giving season is very meaningful for people who mm-hmm. are struggling to mm-hmm. put enough food on the table. And before I kind of go into the details of it, I want to tell you a story about a man I met about 3 weeks ago. He was at a food distribution partner site of ours in the South Valley. And we'll, just for the sake of this conversation, we'll call him Jefferson. That's uh-huh. not his real name, but mm-hmm. we'll call him Jefferson. And this was a man who was raising his grandchildren. He never thought he would be in the position where he needed to do that. But he said, you know what, they need me, and I'm here, and I'm going to do this work, and I'm going to make sure I raise them right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a senior who basically was a truck driver his whole life. And now he's basically retired, raising two grandkids, and not sure how he's going to make sure they all eat.
Mm-hmm.
On that tight income, on that fixed income, he's not sure. Some of the things before coming to this food distribution partner of ours that he said he was having to do were amazing to me. He said he knew he could qualify on those free and reduced lunches and breakfasts at school for his kiddos, for his grandkids,
uh-huh.
but the weekends were tough. So what he was doing, he was basically going to car dealerships, not to shop for a car, but because they knew they were going to have free hot dogs and hamburgers.
Really?
So he knew he would be able to get them a hamburger or a hot dog meal at that site.
Wow.
And, you know, the things that people have to do mm-hmm. when there's no resources left.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, we invite you to become more familiar with what we do. We invite you to make that donation of food, make that donation of funds, because even though you'll never meet Jefferson, it's impacting 70,000 people just like him every week.
Okay, talk again more about this specific event.
Sure. So the Letter Carriers Food Drive is happening Saturday, November 18th. It's really super easy to participate. All you have to do is take a bag, any bag, fill it with non-perishable food, so anything from your pantry, leave it out by your mailbox before your mailman gets there. They'll pick it up for us, and we'll take it back to the food bank to distribute to families in need across New Mexico.
And how much do you expect to get, Sonia?
We never know. I think the goal that the letter carriers have set for themselves is 200,000 pounds of food.
Wow.
That's huge. It's huge and much, much needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will go far, but it goes fast. You know, mm-hmm. we rotate our inventory in our warehouse about every 35 days. And that gift of food is so important in helping us feed hungry families. Mm-hmm. And so we hope that you'll take part. We hope you'll take the time to leave out that gift of food at your mailbox. And often people don't know what to donate. You can visit our website, but consider donating food items that you like to eat,
mm-hmm.
you know? So think about that as you're putting together a bag of food to leave out near your mailbox.
Okay, now you have annual events, evidently.
Yes, we do.
You do something every year.
We do. We have a few. The biggest one after the Letter Carriers Food Drive coming up is our annual Super Bowl. And it is a play on words, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And in essence, it is a soup and dessert sampling event that will allow us to bring people into the food bank. They can sample soup and dessert till their heart's content and enjoy live entertainment and get to pick their favorite. And then at the end of the day, we basically select the favorite soup and dessert and best booth. And it's just a fun day.
That's nice.
And we have it right in our warehouse. Tickets a day of the event are $45. They can go online now and purchase them if they'd like. And it's one way that we're engaging the community and bringing them into our warehouse to see a little bit about what we do.
Okay, talk about host an event or a promotion.
Yeah, so we have a lot of groups who say, you know, I want to do something charitable for you. What can I do to help? And often they may want to do an event and list us as a beneficiary. You know, if you'd like to do that, you can give us a call. There's kind of a short application that we encourage folks to fill out because we want to know kind of what your plans are and what we can do to support it. We don't always have the staffing to support it, but we'll do
yeah.
what we can.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of wonderful groups that, for you know, companies that come forward and just say, I'll do a percent of sales for you and,
uh-huh.
and give you 5% of sales. American Home Furniture has done that for a few years. And it adds up fast. So, you know, if that promotion comes up here in the month of December, look out for it. But it's 5% of sales typically that comes back to food banks across the state, and we take those funds and turn them into meals for people in need.
Okay. Let me ask you this, because your talking just got me to thinking about this. You know,
yeah.
Occasionally we'll have somebody come to New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, and they won't have heirs, and so they'll decide to leave some resources to whatever.
Sure.
Do you have that happen?
We do. So if you have an estate or if you have a will and you would like to encourage people to leave the food bank as a beneficiary in your will, you can easily do that. We'd love to know about it if you just give us a call.
Uh-huh.
And you can talk with one of our gift officers and get the details from them. But we would be honored to do that. We have received several bequests like that, you know, as people... you know, basically parse that out after a loved one has died
mm-hmm.
and passed along. But we would be honored to receive that type of support.
Okay, great. Okay, let's talk about veterans. I know that you guys help the veteran community.
We do. So we primarily do that through our regular distribution channels, and roughly in food lines across the state, there's a significant number of veterans who are in need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they've left their, they can't find employment, or they can't find enough employment, or they're just falling on hard times. Yeah. And so veterans tend to be a group of people who are in our food lines, just like children, just like seniors. And, you know, we don't want them there, of course, but we're there for them to make sure we can get them access to food when they need the help.
Okay.
And primarily the main partner we work with that serves veterans is the Veterans Integration Center up in the southeast part of town. They're the primary group that we work with, but there's others too. You know, veterans walk into food lines just like any other place in the state that we work with.
You know, and you told us how people can access you, and you have a phone number.
I do.
Will you give that again?
Sure. Our phone number is 247-2052, and if you're internet savvy, much of the same information you can find online at rrfb.org. If you're looking for food assistance or you know of somebody who needs food help, simply put your zip code in the Get Help button, and it'll populate a list of locations we supply food to in that particular community.
Okay, and I know... You also have a vehicle donation program.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's really easy for folks to, you know, some of us just have a vehicle around that we're no longer in need of, and maybe you just own it outright, but don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually call our CARS program, and sorry about that. My voice is really going away.
I've coughed
away.
A couple of times today.
Anyway. Our CARS program, in essence, basically, you can call the toll-free number listed on our website and say, hey, I'd like to give this particular car to Roadrunner Food Bank. They'll do all the work for you. They'll pick it up. They'll coordinate the day and time for pickup. And then, in essence, they sell that on our behalf. And that comes back as a monetary donation to Roadrunner.
That's great. I know we've got the coughing bug today, Sonia.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. What, I saw this on your site. What is food-grade warehousing?
That's food banks.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay,
well, good. And it's basically organizations that store food. We actually lease some of the storage, open storage in our facility out, and it helps drive a small income back to the food bank. And what I mean by that is, oh, my goodness, I hope I can make it in this interview without, like, coughing to death. Sorry, folks. Anyway, basically food grade warehousing is like it sounds, meaning we meet national standards to make sure we're storing food in a safe, proper, appropriate location. And in essence, what we do is we work with the for-profit world to lease space in our warehouse that we have available, and it generates a small revenue back to the food bank. So, for example, we've had, pardon me, we have basically a wall of glass in our warehouse right now. And that's a local salsa company who's basically leasing space for that glass. And in essence, they check it out from us. That way they don't have to worry about coming up with long-term storage for that particular glass. And basically it's rental income for the food bank that we can turn back into meals for the hungry.
Okay, so now you said the glass... Explain that to me, because I got lost.
I know. Sorry, and I'm trying to do this with half a voice.
That's right.
Anyway, we basically have several folks that we work with on the for-profit side where they say, hey, do you have excess space in your warehouse to store? Name it. It could be green chili, for example. It might be jars of salsa. It might just actually be the jars themselves, and that's one of the walls of glass. It's in the food bank right now. We're leasing space back to a company who just needed some excess storage space for their jars, and they'll eventually make salsa, put it in it, and get it distributed and put out to local stores. But that rental income that we generate from our warehouse goes right back into our core mission. And so when you see food-grade warehousing on our website, it's because we want to let folks know, like, hey, we can take in large mass amounts of product and
whatever.
Store it for you.
Okay.
And we'll come up with a lease agreement and all of that.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Like always, Sonia, you're a pleasure to have on the program.
Oh, thanks so much.
Give us the phone number one more time.
Of course, 247-2052. And you can always visit us online at rrfb.org.
Okay. Thank you, Sonia, so much.
Thank you.
All right, I want to thank Jennifer Weber and Sonia Warwick for being guests on the show. I also want to thank my Kiva, KIVA team, for making Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, your favorite place for all things senior, reverse mortgages, and you, our audience, for joining today's broadcast. Thank you for listening to New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, the voice of reverse mortgages and seniors in New Mexico. If you'd like to call, the office phone number is 505-897-4900. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Dirk Gray.